All right, y'all. We're picking up with our series here. And we're in Mark chapter 3, verse 20 tonight. So give me a quick reminder, as we finish the last section of our Gospel Life series, what were some of the things that we took from it? All right? Ready? You. Yeah, I never pick on people.
It's like that bumper sticker thing, where it's like...
yeah.
Where it's like soft, but we're like living our life for the gospel and stuff, like all those other
things. Alright, question for everybody then in that case. How many of you guys have been taking what we've been studying here and actually applying that? Anybody actually make some moves? Any hands? A couple of you? A few of you? Awesome, because Bethany is going to be doing something sweet for us coming up soon here. She's going to be looking for people that can share testimonies with us. And so some of you guys that raise your hand that are seeing God do some sweet stuff because you're actually being like, I'm living a gospel life and I got my five and I'm like sharing the gospel. We want to hear about the sweet stuff God's doing in and through you. So she'll be coming to you and be like, hey, will you guys share next week? So be ready. Okay, that's what Beth is. She's not just like stalking you. She actually has a mission that, that she's put on to do that for us. All right, so how many of you guys got your Bibles tonight? Any Bibles? Biblias? Pull them out. All right, if not, they're on the verses are on the screens. We're in Mark chapter 3. And we're starting in verse 20. And as you guys open up there, I want to tell you a story about when I went camping once with my family. We were out camping. And you guys like camping? Any campers? Campers? There's some campers in the room? Good. And you guys like camping in like scary places? Because it's like, yeah, a couple adventure seekers in here. I don't. But anyway, my family decided that we were going out camping. We were going to this really, really nice campground. And we had some like car trouble on the way. So we didn't actually make it all the way there in time. And it was getting late, and we needed a place to camp. We're pulling our, you ever seen like one of those pop-up type campers? So they're not totally like hard all the way around, like solid, like they get that little bit of tent material. It doesn't really feel totally safe. Yeah, so we're pulling one of those behind us. It's getting really, really dark. We're not going to make it to the campground we intended to make it to. And on the road, we finally see this like state park, like a state forest. All right, and it's freezing cold. It's like when nobody else is out camping. That's us. That's what we like. You know, so we're out there, and we're like, my dad's like, it's okay. We'll pull off here and sleep here the night. We'll just spend one night here. And we're all like, there? You know, it's like one of those creepy, like, dark, like, you can see animals getting chased out of the woods by bigger animals right in front of your car. And you're like, he's gonna die. And like, it's scary. So my dad's like, yeah, no problem. Don't worry. Nothing will happen. So we pull into this place, and there is not one other camper in the entire state forest. That is a lonely feeling. You pull in and you're looking around and all you see are bears. No, I didn't see any bears yet, but like you imagine them in your head and you see like all the shadows. You're like, what's over there behind the tree? And so we're like setting up the tent and we're just freaked out from the beginning because it's dark, because it's scary. We've never been there before. And there's not one other camper in the entire place. So like my mind's racing. I'm like, there's like axe murderers out here. You know, there's like all these crazy animals that are going to eat us. So we set the thing up and we all just get in bed because we're too scared to do anything else. So we're in this camper, and you know those, how, like I said, like those fun like pop-ups have, it's like that tent stuff, but they almost like Velcro closed in certain spots. You know what I'm talking about? You guys ever been in a pop-up camper before? Like around the door, they do this ingenious thing where they use Velcro. Like I don't know why they would do that, and then there's a lock on the door. So it's kind of pointless, and I'm looking at that Velcro like all night as I'm laying there going, something's going to come in the Velcro. Like they don't even need to like, unlock the door, and we're just freaked out, and it's me, my mom, my dad, and my sister. And so all of a sudden, it's probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. It's really late. We're all just about to sleep because we were so nervous. It took that long just to try to like get to sleep. We started to hear some noises outside. You know, those like, like noises. I'm like, and you're like, what was that? And you're like, what was that? You know, like random little things and your mind starts to wander and like, you get so scared, it just helps when you say things out loud sometimes, right? So you're like, don't worry, that was just a, and then you say whatever it is, like, oh, just a cricket, just a cat, just a whatever. I'm like, why is a cat in the middle of a state forest in the middle of nowhere? There's no cats here. You know, and so you're like wondering, what are all these noises? And you're trying to put like faces to the noise, and you're like, what was that? And then finally, we actually, on the door, we hear, like, was that a knock? And we just wait. We're like, nobody should be knocking on our door because there's nobody else here. Maybe it's a forest ranger. But I was like, probably just a park ranger. And he goes and he looks and there's nothing out there. And we're like, whoa. All right, maybe it was a branch hit the tree, my mom said. Hit the door. Maybe just a branch. And all of a sudden, a little later, we hear, you know, on that like tent material stuff. It was like, we hear these like the scratchy noise. And we're like, there is something out there. My dad's like, no, just go to bed, you bunch of sissies. He's like, it's nothing out there. I'm like, Dad, I can't sleep right now. Like, something's going to kill us. And then all of a sudden we start to hear like that Velcro start to go. And we're like, no, all right, knock it off now. Who's out there? So we're just laying in bed. And I remember at that point, it was totally silent. And then you just hear, and the Velcro snaps straight open. And something comes inside like the tent. And there's like a trash bag hanging inside because it's bad to hang it outside, you know, for bears. So it's hanging inside. That was smart. And the bag literally just goes flying towards that little hole. So something reached in and grabbed the bag and just like pulled it to that little opening. And you see this little thing. You couldn't tell. Was it a hand? Was it a human? What was it that had grabbed this bag? And we're all like, ah, and my mom, I heard her scream out, it's an axe murderer. He's going to kill us. You know, and my sister's like, it's bears. They're going to eat us. And I'm hiding under the blankets, not saying anything, hoping they'd eat them instead of me, you know, like, ah, and then it turns out my dad, the door. He opens the door and there it is. A raccoon actually got stuck with his arm in there and he's grabbing at the bag and he's got his hand. He's just hanging like being a dumb little raccoon that he was. But the whole time we're thinking, what are all these? What could it be? You know, and we're trying to name all these different guesses that we had of this crazy thing or animal or human that was going to kill us. And none of us really had any idea what it was. Now, logic would have said it's probably a raccoon, right? Because that's what raccoons do. They just mess with you when you're camping. But we came up with a whole bunch of different ideas of what we thought it might be. Now, as we approach our passage tonight, we're going to see some people get to see something pretty phenomenal, something that's hard to explain. They're going to see Jesus do miracles. They're going to see him do some really, really marvelous things that they're like, how could that ever happen? How does this guy have so much power? And they're going to kind of be like us camping and just come up with some different ideas of what they think it might be. Because it couldn't be that he's actually God, right? I mean, that couldn't be plausible. So it must be these other things. So let's look at our passage before we go any further here. Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. It says, then he went home and the crowd gathered again. What a surprise, right? Every passage is pretty much started this way. Jesus surrounded by a huge crowd. So that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he's out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he's possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons. And he called them to him and said them to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom's divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan is risen up against himself and is divided, he can't stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying he has an unclean spirit. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him and said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. So as we start this, will you just pray with me as we start to look into God's word? Father, we love you, God, and we thank you that we get to be here tonight. We thank you that we get to sing praises to you and tell you how awesome you are. Lord, we thank you for what your son has done for us on the cross. Lord, that he is our only way to heaven. And God, as we open your word tonight, we just pray that you teach us. God, that you break our hearts where they need to be broken and that we could leave here different for having studied your word. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's start right at the beginning of this story. We have Jesus comes home, right? And then this crowd gathers. How many times have we heard this? A bunch? A whole lot. Like every story. Why are they gathering around Jesus? What is this pattern that's happening? Is he selling pizza? Is he the ice cream man? What? What is it? Because he's Jesus. And what... what's attractive about that? What's bringing people to him because he's Jesus, huh?
Miracles.
He's doing miracles. What else? Healing. He's healing people. It's kind of miraculous. Yep. What else?
Because he's saving everybody from their sins.
He's saving people from their sins. And there's something else he's doing. When he goes into the synagogues and stuff, what was he doing? What am I doing tonight? Huh? Preaching and teaching, and he's doing it with what? We use this big word.
Scripture.
Yeah, using scripture.
Authority.
Yeah, he's doing it with authority like they've never seen before. They're like, this guy has amazing wisdom. Like even the Pharisees, we've heard them teach, and they know a whole lot of scripture. They know all this stuff, but we've never heard people teach like the way Jesus teaches. And so people are coming around to hear this wisdom. They're coming around to see these miracles and all this amazing stuff that Jesus is doing because they're noticing something we've already said up to this point in other passages, that he is the Son of God. There's no doubt as they look at him, they're like, wow, there's something amazing about you. But then we see this passage, and he comes home, and the same crowd is gathered around again, and there are so many people that they can't even eat their dinner. They're in there trying to chill and actually get some food because they've been traveling, and as they're trying to eat, there's so many people they can't even eat. Now, this kind of reminds me of the story when he was preaching, and the people came with the paralyzed guy, and they couldn't even get in the door of the house. Remember where they had to go? Where did they have to go?
To the roof.
They dropped him down through the roof. There's so many people. It's kind of that scene set again, and here's Jesus. And it's so full, they can't even eat. How many of you guys like to be able to like not eat because there's too many like guests at your house and like you're like stuck over in a corner and there's no food for you? Do you enjoy that? No, I don't enjoy that. Do I look like I enjoy that? Okay? Not fun. And that's Jesus. He's sitting here. All these people are around him. And then it says that his family heard about this. Now, when it says family, a lot of Bible interpreters have kind of some different ideas, but it's pretty clear if we look in verse 31 who this was. His mother, his brothers, like this is his direct family. How many of you guys know your family pretty well? Who would say here that you probably know people in your family? Let's just go with mom right now, like your mom or your dad. You know them better than you know anybody else probably at this point. No? Okay, I was expecting. Okay, good. There's the hands coming up. Maybe, maybe not. You know them pretty. How well do you think they know you? Pretty well? Ah, you might think that, but mom knows you really well. Because I bet when she tells you to do something, you like go to your room and you're not really doing it, she knows that without even seeing it, right? You ever like do that? She's like, go to your room and clean it. And you're in there like playing on the computer. She's like, I know what you're doing in there. You never hear that? Like, I know exactly what's happening. Like, and she like knows. How does she know that stuff? Because they know us really, really well. You know why? Because we're family. Families live together. Families see each other a lot. Well, Jesus, this is his family. Like, these are the people that know him better than anybody else. He grew up from when he was a little kid. They could tell stories about him. They knew him so well, and they're standing outside this house. It's just like packed full of people, and they had heard what's going on, and they're like, hey, we need to get him, and look what they're trying to do. They wanted to seize him. They wanted to go grab him, literally, like bind him up, grab him, and pull him back home. And you know why? Look what they said. What's it say? He's out of his mind. His own family thought he was crazy. They thought he was a lunatic. They're like, I don't even know what was going through their head. Maybe they thought he was out of his mind because he's allowing this big crowd to be around and it's dangerous. Maybe the Romans are going to come get him and they're scared for that. Maybe they just don't believe at all exactly what he's doing. He's starting to believe his own stories, the legends that are being told about him. I don't know why they said this. I'm not sure what was going through their head, but it's pretty clear what they're thinking right now, that Jesus is totally crazy. Like, what's going on? Now, wouldn't you think that the people that know him best, his own family, would be able to have the faith in him that he's talking about? Don't you think that they would have seen all these awesome things? Don't you think they would have known his heart and heard that? But even the people who were closest to him had a really hard time swallowing just how much authority and power he had. Wow. And I start to think sometimes that because we call ourselves believers and we go to church and we always do the Jesus thing, that we're kind of scot-free from this. Like, oh, that couldn't happen to me. But these are people that should know him best. Aren't we people that should know him best? The people that go to church all the time, the people that have Christian families, a lot of us, the people that like say we believe in him and he saved us. How horrible would it be if one day we look up and we're just like his family and we're just kind of used to Jesus? We're so used to him that we're like, that can't really be. You must be out of your mind. Like, and when he does amazing things in our lives, we're not even expecting it. We're kind of surprised by it because we're like, whoa, that actually happened? Like, that can't be. And we're kind of like me on that camp out trying to figure out what it really was because it couldn't have been Jesus. Like, because we're so used to just calling him our Lord, we forget just how powerful he is. And when he does amazing things in our lives, we're almost wanting to come up with other reasons what it could have been. Maybe he's just crazy, they said. And they're not the only group that did this. Look at the next group here. Verse 22, and the scribes who came down, here they come again, right? The Pharisees are always on his heels. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he's possessed by Beelzebul. And by the prince of demons, by Satan, he casts out the demons. Oh, it couldn't be that he's the son of God. It couldn't be that he's really powerful and has all this authority that he's been telling us in every passage up until this one, so far through the book of Mark. We have been establishing the authority of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That he's in control of everything. That he really is king of this entire universe. That this whole story is about him. That your whole life is about him. That's why we're calling it gospel life, remember? We've established that, and then here comes this huge question of doubt. And all of these people come up and look at these excuses, these reasons they come up with were, maybe it's not really his authority. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. You have his family who should know him really well, but then you have these Pharisees. What was something really interesting about the Pharisees that you guys know? Tell me, talk to me about the Pharisees. Who are they?
Religious leaders.
Religious leaders? What kind of religious people were they? Were they like really good? They're bad. How?
Because
they didn't like Jesus. That makes it bad. What else? Wrong ideas about Scripture. Did they know Scripture really well?
Yeah.
How well?
Like really well.
Like really, really well, Maddie?
Well, they knew the Scripture, but they used it like
anonymous. Oh. So they knew the Scripture so well that maybe they should have known by this point and expected this Messiah, this Son of God, to be able to do powerful things. Maybe they should have known the Scriptures as well as they did to be able to say that this guy really is Jesus because look at all these prophecies he's fulfilled. But instead, like Maddie said, they just missed the whole point. Yeah.
Well, I remember that one story when the people couldn't work on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy went out to the field and he had a big, grass to eat.
Yep, grain.
But
yep.
Yep. And the Bible
said that he could because they got that one wrong too. Do you remember what Jesus told him when we looked at that? What was the phrase Jesus said to him? Sabbath?
Okay.
Actually.
Sabbath was made for man.
All right, so they've twisted this whole thing up, right? The Pharisees keep getting it wrong over and over and over again because they keep putting this religious, this like crazy legalistic thing that they had in their mind over the important one who is Jesus, the Son of God. And here they go again, right? No surprise for us. They're doing the same thing. So the family mistakes it. Now these guys who should know Scripture really well mistake it. All these people are looking at Jesus' authority and completely missing the point. And they're trying to figure out what it could actually be. Why he could actually be this powerful. And so they miss it. Now listen to what Jesus' answer is, all right? Get this part. Verse 23, he says, and he called to him and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Now, I want you to watch this next video real quick.
All right, that's a fifth floor problem.
Not in my house. No. Not today.
Jimmy, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
Happier than Dikembe Mutombo blocking a shot.
Nice.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right. Yeah, you really like that. Yeah. I kind of picture this passage is, and that's kind of what I see in my head when some of the stuff he's talking about. How are you ever going to go? How many basketball players are in here? There's a lot of you. That's why I chose this video. Okay. Imagine you're playing basketball against that guy. You need to go up and take a shot. Think it's going to work? He's kind of old, but I bet he could still squish you. I'm just saying. He's like seven times your size, dude. Did you see him in the video? Now listen, you might prove me wrong, but we'll have to wait for the day you do. All right, so if you had to play against this guy, you'd probably be a little intimidated, right?
No.
Anybody? No? We got a bunch of tough guys in this front row. I kind of think that he could take you, but I might be wrong. As Jesus is talking about this, listen, guys, as Jesus is talking about this, it's kind of like this whole thing of how is Satan going to walk in to his own home and just bust up his own house? Now, do you know that the Pharisees were literally looking at Jesus going, hey, you've got Satan inside of you? Their best explanation for how Jesus could be so powerful and authoritative and cast out demons was because he had the prince of demons inside of him. That tells us a couple things. First of all, that Jesus was so powerful and was doing such amazing things that they had to come up with a really powerful explanation for it. It wasn't enough just to call him crazy, like his parents did. They had to actually figure something out here that would make sense that people would believe because he's showing some incredible power. And so he couldn't just say, oh, he might have a demon. Maybe he's possessed. They literally had to say, he must have the prince of demons inside of him in order to do such amazing things. In order to be able to cast out all these other demons, he must have Satan himself inside of him. Now imagine they're looking at the Son of God. And they're telling him he's possessed by Satan. Wow. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to have to go home and be in their shoes at the end of the night. I wouldn't want to be that guy to look at God himself and accuse him of being Satan. That's exactly what they were doing. And Jesus' response is, if I were Satan, why would I want to walk into my own home and destroy my own people, my own family? Have you guys ever watched Family Feud? Any Family Feud people? They got a new one out, you know? What if, like, your family was on Family Feud? And let's say Bethany, the Rowell family, you guys are in the Family Feud, okay? But Bethany goes and she's, like, a spy. She's, like, tries to throw all the answers. You ever see people, like, try to throw the game on purpose? What if she was intentionally trying to sabotage her family from winning? Would they get very far? Do you think they would win if you have an intentional person on your team trying to destroy?
No.
Then what would the point be? You think Bethany would expect to win that game if she's intentionally trying to throw it?
No.
Doesn't that just not make any sense at all in any way? It's completely and totally illogical. Jesus is pointing that out. Yeah, unless she's getting paid behind the scenes there. But if she's actually expecting to win and yet sabotaging her own family, they're not going to win the game. You got to work together. That's the whole point of the game. And Jesus is saying, this is so irrational what you're telling me right now. It's just as crazy to say this about Jesus. How could I go in my own home and destroy it? Why would I ever want to do that? What about a country? He says, like, this country that's like a kingdom that's divided against itself. You guys know anything from history class about civil wars? Who actually loses the civil war?
Everyone.
Everybody loses, you're right. If one country is fighting against itself, guess what? No matter which side wins, they both lose because they're the same country. Everybody's hurt. Why would they want to do this? Why would Jesus ever want to do that if he had been possessed by Satan? And so it's like, your argument makes absolutely no sense. And it's kind of doing something like this. Watch this in the next video. This is kind of what I picture, how crazy this is.
Get your tail. Get him. Get your tail, Shamie. Get him. Get your tail. Get your tail. Get him. Get him, Shamie. Get your tail. Get him. Get him. Get him. Get your tail. Get him.
He's got it.
Get your tail.
He actually got it. Oh, nice job. All right.
Get him.
That voice is creepy. I'm going to give you that. That's the creepiest voice I think I've ever heard. I couldn't even tell what you're saying. I had nightmares after I found that. I hope I didn't, like, plague your dreams. I'm sorry. But the video is awesome because the dog actually caught his own tail. Now, listen, it just like this dog that chases his own tail is never really going to get anywhere, right? You just go around in circles and circles and circles. That's the point Jesus is trying to make here. That's how illogical the Pharisees are being right now by telling him this, their excuse, their reasoning. He's like, this is absolutely absurd that you would ever say this about me. And then he ends it with this like wise piece of information from them. He says, but no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Matthew 12:28 says this, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, this is Jesus talking in Matthew, right? If it's by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So basically what Jesus is saying here by making this parable about the strong man is this. Satan's the strong man of this world right now. I haven't come because I have Satan in me. I've come to bust up his kingdom. And I got to do that by binding up the strong man first. So what he's saying is, watch out. You guys are all doubting my authority. Even my own family, my blood, like they're doubting my authority that we've seen. I've been setting up all this time to this point and they're doubting it. These guys who should know scripture better than anybody is still missing the point and they're doubting my authority and saying I'm Satan himself. I've come to bind Satan. I've come to free you with this authority that I bring so you can live in my power, so you can live in my strength. I've come to bind up the strong man, so watch out. Then he turns and he tells us something really, really important because he speaks about our salvation next. And listen what he says in verse 28 and 29. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But, it's a big word right there, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. You know that there is a sin that we can commit that can never be forgiven. And as Jesus is looking at these people and what they're doing, by rejecting the fact that he is the Son of God, that he has the authority, they're rejecting salvation itself. They're rejecting the very forgiveness that he has come to bring to mankind. And so by blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that's a big word, but what it means basically is rejecting it and making these excuses. It must be this, it must be that. There's no power in Jesus. That can never be forgiven. That will condemn us all to an eternity of hell if we do not receive the Spirit when he knocks on our heart. When the Holy Spirit comes down and says, listen, you need my Jesus. You need his blood. You need his cross and the sacrifice he made for you because you're full of sin. In that moment, we need to say, yes, Lord, I do need you. I do believe you have authority. I do believe you did that for me. Because in that moment, if we reject him, there's no forgiveness of that. If you die without having believed on Jesus as your Savior, there is no heaven for you. There is no eternity with the God who created you, getting to worship him forever. There's only eternal punishment waiting for you. And for that, there's no forgiveness. For everything else, he says, you can be forgiven because Jesus paid the penalty for every last one of our sins. But if you reject him, that is one sin that will never be forgiven. There's good news, though. There's good news. Look at how he ends that. He says, for they were saying he has an unclean spirit. Jesus told them this truth because they themselves were rejecting him in this moment. And Jesus cared enough to tell them that truth. And that there is a good side. Look at the next couple verses and we'll end with this. Verse 31. And his mother and his brothers came. And standing outside, they sent to him and called him. So they're all outside the house and they're like, call Jesus for us. We can't get through this crazy crowd. So this crowd that was sitting around him, they said, hey, your mother and your brothers, they're looking for you outside. Expecting Jesus just to like jump up and be like, okay, I gotta go. And look in verse 33, it says, he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those that sat around him, everybody that's sitting on these carpets around him eating with him, he's looking at them and he's saying, here they are, you guys. Those of you who are here believing on my authority, believing in who I am, receiving my salvation, trusting in me, you too, listen to what he says at the end. I'm just going to quote him because I don't want to mess it up. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and mother. So here's the good news. When the Holy Spirit does come and he's tapping on your heart, convicting you that you need Jesus, that you're a sinner and there's no way else that you're going to find unity with God again, and you need Christ, if you do receive him, if you do say, I do need that Jesus, you become his family. You become his child. You were adopted into the family of the creator of the universe. But if you reject him and you pass away from this life never having accepted Christ, then there is no forgiveness. You know, my heart breaks to think of how many people will have the Holy Spirit knock in their heart and they're going to reject. They're going to be like me and my family in that camp out, just making other excuses of, you know, oh, maybe life is really about this or life is really about that and it's not really about God. How many people are going to say that and go to hell? Man, I don't want any of you guys to be one of those people. Having heard the truth of the gospel night after night after night, I pray that as we leave here, as we dismiss in just a minute, talk to your leaders. Take some time to be like, look, I haven't ever done this. The Holy Spirit's knocked on my heart a couple times. He's knocking right now as you're speaking, Rob. And I don't want to reject him. I don't want to commit the sin that can never be forgiven and lose out on the rest of eternity with God.